If you will, and let's open them up to the book of James. James in chapter 4 is where we're going to be. James in chapter 4. So when we get there, we're going to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Just by way of introduction real quick this morning, in the past couple of weeks we have remained in the book of James, and we looked at a pure wisdom. And then we looked at pure worship, James chapter 1 and then James chapter 3. And today we want to look in James chapter 4 as we continue this series. Now I'm just going to have you stand. We're going to read the first verse, and then we'll have a seat after prayer. And we'll finish off the chapter. James chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members?" Let us pray. Father in heaven, again we come to you this morning. We thank you, dear God, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. And we just pray now for your continual blessing, your continual mercy, your continual guidance, and your continual grace. We pray that our life, dear God, would honor you in our life, in our walk, in our steps, in our words, dear Lord, in our actions, in our givings. We pray, dear Lord in heaven, that they would honor you and bring praise to the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we come together today, Lord, we pray that this body, Father, would receive the blessings from on high, that we would hear from your precious and pure Word of God, that we can apply it into our life, Lord, to better serve you. We may please you in the days that you have allotted and appointed us here on this earth. Lord, we pray until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, that we would do just that, to bring honor and glory to the risen name of our Savior and thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we do ask. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated if you will, please. And we'll pick up in verse 2 there in James chapter 4. Verse 2 says, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, which may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. That ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Beloved, we look at James chapter 4, and it brings us to a topic much similar to what we find in James chapter 1 of pure worship. How it takes to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ in various ways. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ in our giving. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ in our time, our talent, our treasure. I spoke to someone one time, and they were saying, "Well, preacher, I'm going to give this much, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." And I stopped them. I said, "Hang on a second. Let me ask you this. You speak of worshiping the Lord, yet it's not a sacrifice for you to worship in your givings. And how is that worship?" And they said, "Yeah, but I just feel like I'm led to give this much." And I said, Bottom line is this, God has given us a plan. He's given us a go-by, if you will. And the minimum of that tithe, we know, is 10%. And then there is offerings above and beyond that. So the minimum of what we bring in, or our income prior to taxes, is that which we give is 10%. You say, why is that important this morning to understand? Because if we're going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, in giving, that's the minimum right there. That's where it starts. It's equivalent to this. I don't have my wallet because my wife has it. But if I was to lay my wallet, that's something, isn't it? Amen. If I was to lay my wallet down here and there happened to be by chance some money in the clip of that wallet, there is not a person in here that would take that wallet, go down to the, maybe my wife would because she has, what's mine's hers, but anyone else for that matter, they wouldn't go down to the one stop and just buy whatever they wanted to with what is my money. They wouldn't do that. It's the same thing in what we give unto the Lord. You cannot take what is God's. God has said, hey, you get to keep 90% of it, okay? But a minimum of that needs to come back to me, and that is the Lord. You don't have the right to take His. So if we're going to worship, pure worship, spirit of truth, and the thing of giving of our treasure, it's got to start with a minimum of that 10%. That's what the word tithe means. It's not an Old Testament law, by the way. It's not even under the law. A tithe well before the law, so that throws that argument out. Giving of our time. How do we tip the Lord with our time? Do we come to the Lord and worship Him and sacrifice and give our time unto Him? Beyond that of Sunday and Wednesday, do we give our time of prayer, our time of labor, our time of witnessing, our time of studying, our time of just simple alone time with God? What about our talent? Everybody in here has different talents in this world today. Are we going to come to the Lord and worship Him purely today by giving and sacrificing what talents God has given us so that we can exercise them for Him in this life? Guys, James chapter 1 clearly lays out pure worship, as we mentioned just a couple weeks ago. We went into James chapter 3. And we saw pure wisdom. Pure wisdom is from above. It's not from a book, an earthly book. Pure wisdom is not from even experience. I know that experience will bring wisdom in a person's life. Age will bring wisdom in a person's life to a certain degree. But any of that wisdom that cometh not from above, that is not heavy or heavenly, is not a wisdom that is of God. And pure wisdom, my friend, comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, comes from God, comes from the purity of His precious Word that He has given us today through preservation in His Bible. His Bible, not ours. It's ours, but it's not up to us to rewrite or to correct. Pure wisdom and pure worship, Lord, beloved, they come together as we look today and they apply in our life. I mentioned this the first week. James is probably one of the most practical books in all the Bible. And I never really, to be honest with you, never really looked at it like that till I begin to dig and begin to study of its practicality and application. So when we start out in the pure worship and we go into the pure wisdom, today we want to see, and I want to bring this topic to you this morning, and it's that of a pure walk. A pure walk. Your walk, when we speak of that, is your actions. It's your life. It's how you carry yourself. It's your conversation. The word conversation means conduct, not just that which you say verbally or orally today, but how you conduct your life. A pure walk can happen in this world today. It can occur through a pure worship, through a pure wisdom that comes from above. And that's how we see this order that is written in the book of James. Now, personally, I'll go ahead and tell you this. I like to plan. I didn't bring my day book in with me today. I actually left it on my desk at the house, and maybe I did that subconsciously. I don't know, but I like to plan. I enjoy sitting down, formulating a direction based on a vision established by the Lord and attacking it. I like to see a plan come together. I like to just move with a plan that's written down on the paper. I enjoy planning. I enjoy organization, order, diaries, schedules. Those are things that I've lived by as long as I can remember, even as a teenager. I remember my life was dictated by schedules, between a workout schedule, between school schedule, between sports schedule, between home duty schedule, all of these different things. My life was dictated in an orderly fashion of where I had to be somewhere at this time to fill this job. Personally, I enjoy the little box of set and well-designed plans that we put on paper and we fulfill them and we just tick those boxes off. If we were honest with one another this morning, in a way, there is security And there is comfort found in the confines of a regimented schedule. My family and I, especially me and Denise and Darius now as well, we for the most part follow a regimented diet. We have a certain type of food that we eat every morning. We eat the same. Matter of fact, Denise and I for the most part have eaten the same breakfast since 1998. And it's great. I don't have to think about what I'm going to have for breakfast. I'm going to have today, I had, just like I have every day, 3/4 cup of oatmeal mixed in with 1 scoop of chocolate whey protein and 1 tablespoon of peanut butter. That's my breakfast. I don't have to get up in the morning and go, man, what am I going to have for breakfast tomorrow? That's off my list. It's already taken care of. For the most part, we eat about 4 meals a day. I eat 5 ounces of chicken, 3 ounces of some type of green, be it broccoli or beans, and 2 ounces of quinoa or 3 ounces of long brown rice or 3 ounces of sweet potatoes. One of those starchy carbs. You say, preacher, why do you do that? Why do you guys weigh your meals out? Why do you plan? I don't have to think about it the rest of the day. Once those meals are done and they're put into the little plastic boxes and we clip them down and we set them on the counter, I don't have to think about meals, lunch. I don't have to. All I got to do is eat every 2.5 hours or take something in, and it's off my list. I enjoy those kind of things. There is safety and there's security. There's comfort in a regimented schedule. Be it a business schedule, be it a office hours, whatever it may be. Be it a work schedule at home. If you get up in the morning and say, okay, between 9 and 10, that is my Bible reading. That's my Bible reading time between 8:30 and 9. That's my private coffee time and watch the BBC and catch up on the news. 9 to 10, I'm going to read. 10 to 11, I'm going to clean. I mean, when you do those, there is comfort in those things. Guys, there is security in having a schedule. However, there's one rule that many people forget, and more often people just flat out forfeit. And that is, do not make any plans whatsoever without God. Don't make any plans without God, first and foremost. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That is God speaking directly unto mankind this morning. Our thoughts are not, and never will be on this side of glory, equal to the thoughts of God. As a matter of fact, they might even be the same thoughts of God. His ways, my friend, will always be on this side of glory, higher than our ways. And this is why it is so confounding when man begins to think that he can determine the thoughts of God in their life. Or in a book. The thoughts of God. Oh, it contains the thoughts of God. Man thinks that they can take the Word of God and change the Word of God and then proclaim to say, yeah, but we have the thoughts of God in here. I challenge you to find anywhere in that book right there, anywhere where God blessed his thoughts. You won't find it. The Bible said that he blessed his words. Faithful are those who obey them. Great are those who publish them. Guys, planning with the purpose is a proper thing to do. But we must always remember within our plans that God's thoughts and God's ways are always going to be higher than ours. There's nothing wrong with organization, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with schedules. Guys, listen, if there was something wrong with the schedule, I would be the most wrong person on the face of the planet. I think schedules are healthy. Yet they should be governed with this thought. If you desire to have a pure walk in the worlds you live in today, your schedules, your diary, your plan, your events should be governed by this thought: to write your plans in chalk or pencil while God writes His in ink. His ways for our walk will always be for the better of our life. It maybe not in the immediate, but most certainly in the long run. You say, well, preacher, I just can't see it. I can't understand it. You cannot. You're not supposed to, because His thoughts and His ways are higher than yours. Guys, I don't understand why Category 4, a hurricane, is getting ready to rip through from the southern tip of Florida and possibly all the way through the Panhandle. I don't know why that's happening, although I know who can control it, and that's God. I don't know if it's for judgment. I don't know if it's to bring a body of people closer to Him. I don't know if it's for both. It may just be a wake. I don't know, and I don't need to know. Neither do you. When I was a kid, I remember, how many people remember those toys? I don't know if you remember. There was Stretchy Armstrong Man, and then there was a green monster. Remember, you could stretch it like this right here. Remember that? You know, I had more than one thing wrong with me when I was a kid, but one of the things wrong with me is I always wanted to know what made something work. And my mom whooped my tail I got the biggest whooping of my life when I got this stretchy thing for Christmas one year. And I'd played with it. I can take you right back to the place in Adamsville, Alabama, down inside that finished basement. And I was stretching that thing and stretching that thing and stretching that thing. And all of a sudden I looked at that little deal. I said, I wonder why it stretches. And I wanted to figure out why it stretched. So if you want to figure out how something stretches, what do? Well, you try to take it apart. Problem is, it was just one big piece of stretchy material. So I cut him open. And I had all this goo everywhere. And I got the biggest whooping you can imagine. And I deserved it, rightly so. Probably needed it 3-4 more times that day just for thinking about it, amen. You know, guys, I don't need to know why something works if God is working it. I don't need to understand the Holy Trinity. I just need to believe it. One of the foundational principles that I taught you guys when we went through the book of Revelation is the book of Revelation is a very simple book. It's not put there for you to understand it. It's put there for you to believe it. And once you begin to open up your heart and your mind to believe in the Word of God, God begins to open your heart and mind up to seeing things that before you never saw. Most people get confused on the Word of God simply because they just want to know why it works. Guys, it's not a watch. It's not a machine that can be picked apart to figure it out. God's not interested in that in our life today. God is interested in us believing His Word. He's interested in us today with His plans being in our life. We may not understand why, but we just need to know it's His plans. His plans will always be for your benefit. Again, maybe not in the immediate, but definitely in the long run. Jeremiah says this, which is going to be a foundational thought for this morning's message. Verse 29, chapter 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, beloved, I believe that we've gotten so paganistic in our world today. I believe that our society has become so pluralistic that we look at God the way the Greek gods looked at Zeus. This vicious God with a thunderbolt up there, just standing there like this right here saying, "Please step out of line so I can drop the bolt on you." I think we've come to the idea that God has sat up on His throne with an iron hammer just waiting for you to slip up so He can clonk you in the head. That's not what the Scripture says. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," He says. "Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Guys, planning helps an organization. It helps us in our life to organize a chart, a course, if you will, for achievement of the goals that we've set out. Those are good things. But plans and goals, simply made according to the wisdom of man, will soon find their path to be troubled, interrupted, or in many ways blocked completely. Confucius said this. You say, why in the world are you quoting Confucius? Because I'm going to tell you here in a minute. He said, "A man who does not plan long ahead will find trouble at his door." Now that sounds great. That sounds like something nice to go, you know, up on your wall. It sounds good for a teacher to teach students. And at face value, the statement sounds good. It sounds proper. Yet it comes from a man who also believed and taught that your ancestors should be worshipped as they are guiding you through your path in the universe. Ancestral worship is a paganistic practice which has sent the followers and who will adhere to that type of worship to an eternity of torment, hell's flames. But rather, the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Luke 14, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" Now you take both of those statements, both are inherently true. One is on the foundation of a person that is a pagan, lost, denying Jesus Christ as Savior, denying who God is. Confucianism, which has taken on a role in this world today to be worshipped and denying that of Jesus Christ. Now, Confucius was not an atheist or an agnostic, as many people believe. He was a deist, but he was not, obviously, someone that would follow in the footsteps of God. And then you take Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, the one who spoke everything in this universe into existence, the Savior of the world, God, the Son of God, the second entity of the Holy Trinity, tells you something just about the same, but actually more clear, and people scoff it off. So needless to say, the Lord is not anti-planning when you read Luke 14. The Lord is not anti-organization. He enjoys organization. He enjoys setting a pattern and a schedule. However, in the text that we find with the Apostle James, speaking in James chapter 4, he specifically exhorts us that we should not make any plans apart from God, especially not to boast about them. Man, I can remember, I'm not going to drag time out today, I promise. We've got three quick points and be finished, but... And I'm telling on myself quite a bit today. I can remember when I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. Here was my thoughts and my plans. My thoughts and plans. I'm going to move up there, be working for this company, and I'm concerned about three things. I'd already started to preach. I'm going to preach. I'm going to work hard. And I'm going to work out. I didn't want a girlfriend. Had no intentions of getting married. Wasn't necessarily interested in being a dad. I was convinced my call was never to pastor. And then once I got to the city, I said, I'll never live north of the city. I wrote five or six things I said I was never going to do. First day that I'm there, I walk into the gym, I see her. The rest is history. That wasn't my plans, but that was God's plans. He's given me not only the greatest wife a person could ever imagine, but He's given me four tremendous children that I know I'm embarrassing them. They're all right. They need to be embarrassed sometimes. He's given me four tremendous children that I cannot complain about. They're great and they're wonderful. He's given me the honor to pastor three churches at this time, two right now. He's taken me a little further than north of the city of Nashville. Amen. He took me north of the city then, and then He moved me all the way east over here. Praise God. It's His plans, not mine. And I couldn't be happier, guys. James tells us not to boast of these plans that we make without God. And since we have no absolute control over our own lives, necessarily, we don't have control over the events that may affect our lives and affect our decisions and affect our choices. Point number one, the reality is this, is we know not of tomorrow. Why should we apply God? Why should He be in the equations for the decisions and the plans and the schedules we have in our life? Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, but we know who holds tomorrow. Verse 13 and 14 in James 4 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Beyond even that, guys, tomorrow is not promised. My dad raised me up with this idea, tomorrow never comes. We must do today's work today, for tomorrow may never be here. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Beloved, we have no idea what the next minute will hold. We don't know what's going to happen this evening. Hey, we hope and pray that we have our evening service down at Sarah and South, but we don't know what's going to transpire from this point right now until 5:30 this afternoon. Right now, the hurricane that is going through Florida, many, many people had planned 2017. Many people sat down with their calendars, with their diaries, with their schedules, with their events, and they planned out 2017. Not one of those people factored in a Category 4 hurricane to rip through their hometown and into their lives. None of them. The plans for their property improvements did not include a flood. We do not know, nor do we understand what will transpire in the coming hours. Our plans, our goals, and even our schedules need to be written according to the will of God. Nothing wrong with planning, but there is something wrong with planning outside of seeking God's will. Why? Number one, we cannot control tomorrow, nor can we figure it out. Why? Because here's the ultimate factor, is that we have not God's thoughts. In verse 15 of the same chapter there in James 4, it says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Guys, we should never boast about our short-range or long-range plans without God in the equation. Our lives and our future are in God's control. His thoughts and His ways are much higher than our thoughts and our ways. And this is the point that I've tried to impress upon people for years. God will never be figured out. If mankind can be so educated to the height of knowing and understanding the thoughts of God, then He is no God whatsoever, my friend. That's why the academia world struggles to accept the validity of the inspired Word of God. Truly, they truly feel as if they can work it out in their minds, the thoughts of God. And beloved, this is the temptation from the beginning. The devil himself said this to mankind, Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, what was the context of Genesis 3 and the temptation that Satan himself brought to Adam and Eve? Oh, well, preacher, it was the tree. It was disobedience. It was this, it was that. No, it was the Word of God. The serpent opened up with these words, "Yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said?" The first thing Eve did was dabble with the Word of God, did she not? She said, she brought in the fact, well, neither can you touch it. That was an addition to the Word of God. He never said that. And then there was a denial of the Word of God. He says, "Thou shalt surely not die." And he goes on to say that God knows that in the days ye thereof, your eyes will be opened. God, the father of lies is the one who said this in his own heart, Isaiah 14, 14. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So the next time you hear someone say, "Well, this book contains the thoughts of God," you know where they're coming from. You know where their root and their foundation comes from. And it doesn't come from God. The biggest struggle with this crowd, guys, is just the lack of submission in their life. If they would only understand that God is not out there to harm us. He's not out there to constrict us. He's only interested in what is best for us. He's not trying to make a life hard. He's not trying to make a life to hurt them. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." So, beloved, what we need to understand is that tomorrow is not promised. We understand that. We have no control over tomorrow. The reason we have no control over tomorrow is because we have not the thoughts of God, but we got the Word of God. So the question that underlies at our heart's door today is whether or not we will take what we've heard, what we've read, and make the turn. The last two verses in James 4 says, "But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil." There's the conviction. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So many will hear, but be not moved. So many will listen, but they'll make no changes. So many will even read the Word of God, yet doing nothing about it. And beloved, that is going to be sin. So even if we make plans in our life, make plans for our future, which is wise to do, we must ensure that our plans are written in chalk, that our plans are written in pencil, asking ourselves this following question: what if? What if God? Give God the eraser and let Him write His plans in our life in ink. Let us always remember that God should be consulted in everything that we plan. He should be sought and His will be sought out so that every plan that we make and every decision we made is according to His will and based upon His Word. That's the foundational truth. We should live and we should speak in the realization that our destinies are in His control. And we should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that. Guys, omitting God from our future plans is not merely bad planning, but it's flat out sin. I'll say that to you again. Omitting God from our future plans is not merely bad planning, but it is flat out sin. So I want you to leave you with this thought, that we should only make plans in conscious dependence upon our God, recognizing His sovereign control over our personal lives, letting all our future plans to be according to His will, written according to His purposes, based upon His words, so that His ways can be revealed in our walk, so that we can reveal unto the world His words, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Beloved, place your trust, your faith, and your dependence, not in your own personal diary, not in your own personal ways, not in your own schedule, but place a pure walk with the Lord today, according to His ways and according to His will, founded solely on His Word. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for your wonderful Word. We thank you for your touch today, and we pray the words we've heard this morning, dear God, will please be applied into our life, that we would make the needed changes in our own minds and our own hearts to be more shaped into the image of our Lord and Savior. Father, we know that we will never reach that status here in this world. Father, we are being conformed to the image of the Son of God. Future planning for those days when we have the mind of Christ. But Lord, let us have a pure walk down here based upon your pure word. Lead us safely into the right way, dear God. Help us consult you in all things we do and say. Help us never to make a decision, dear Lord, outside of your will. Reveal unto us through your precious word, I pray, the walk that we must have in this life, so that we can bring glory and honor and praise to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.